Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you once again for joining the Kent Biz Connect bi-weekly radio show with me, Martin White.
And me, Brian Wakefield.
And?
Yes, we have a guest today. Who do we have here? Like a rose between two thorns.
Yeah, that's me, Pete Bresser.
Pete, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much.
Welcome, Pete.
Great to be here.
I was going to say you're an old hand at this, but we can't use words like old anymore, can we? It's not PC.
No,
so
you can with Pete.
You're an expert at this because I know you've been in the studio before, so welcome.
I think this is my third time, actually.
Is it? Gosh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been
overdoing that a bit, haven't we?
He's better at it than us, then.
Anyway, welcome, everybody. Do please feel free to engage with our show live today. We're only on for an hour, so you haven't got long. Our Twitter handle is Kent_biz. So do please tweet us with any news. It might be an event or a promotion you're running or just some general good news about your business in Kent. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll read it out live on air, won't we, Brian?
We certainly will. Or they can just say hi. And you never know, we may say hi back.
Hi. That would be nice. Yeah. Hi. Give us a hi. Good. So I think what we're going to do, I mean, the format of the show really is fairly kind of set, isn't it, in terms of we're going to start with some business news in terms of what's going on in Kent. We've got some fabulous events, networking events and things that we want to read out as well that people might want to take part in. But Brian, I think we'll just get straight into it, shall we? And well, what we should do really is tell the listener about what we're doing as a radio show moving forwards, because things are changing slightly, aren't they?
Yeah, I think we're going to ramp it up a notch or two next month, really. So what's going to happen is that, Pete's the elusive exclusive one today, but as of the 29th of April, we're going to be more like a football match. We're going to have 90 minutes.
Oh,
no extra time.
I like that analogy.
A football match. So we're still going to kick off at 3 o'clock, but we're going to go right the way through to 4:30. So that's plus 50% on the show currently, and we can actually have two guests.
And we'll have a little comfort break, I'm assuming, after 45 minutes, will we?
At our age, we might need one more frequently than that.
I was thinking that must be your golden goal, mustn't it?
Oh, very good.
He's slid straight in there, hasn't he?
I'll get my comb.
So we're looking forward to that. And we've got a sort of an opening song that we're using at the moment, which people will recognise as the Pet Shop Boys.
We do like a link.
But we're going to have a little signature tune as well, aren't we, to introduce the show. I think we've got one of our BBN members working on that at the moment, hopefully.
Yeah, we're gonna have our own little jingle.
We're gonna get all professional, and I guess the reason we're doing that is we're starting to build quite a following, aren't we, on social media, and our website's generating some really good kind of visibility for our show guests and you know, the people that are heavily involved in helping us put the show together. So Channel Radio and Richard Torball at Torball Design, who's designed our website. So it's all good kind of promotion and good visibility for those guys as well. So if you'd like to get involved on that level, then, you know, get in touch with us, give us a tweet, or you'll find our contact details on the website if you'd like to perhaps get involved as a supporter or a sponsor of the show moving forwards. We'd be happy to kind of have that conversation as well, wouldn't we?
Yeah, we would. That is something that will come as part of the extra package, really.
Yeah.
So we will give some other Kent businesses the opportunity to get involved and shout about their wares and everything.
Good. But back to the here and now, what's kind of caught your eye in the kind of business news this week on a kind of positive note? There was something that I think one of our good friends, McIntyre Hudson, who we both work very closely with, have been in the news this week for all the good reasons.
Yeah, it's funny, just before I left to come down and come on air, I was having a long chat with a lovely Michelle Dowsett, who did a wonderful 10-minute presentation at BBN Maidstone on Friday. And I said we have some words that we try not to mention, is that we don't like to talk about Brexit and we don't like to talk about traffic. But in Kent at the moment, it's really, really difficult to find anything that isn't related to either of those. So, but as you say, Visit Kent, which is basically the county's tourism agency, has just signed up MHA McIntyre Hudson as their latest corporate sponsor, or corporate investor as well, really. So corporate sponsors are there to drive mutually beneficial sponsorships and relationships, especially if you're involved in any way in the tourism industry in Kent. So that was quite good. It was just, I spotted that online, and it's nice to see Adrian was a guest here two or three shows ago and a BBM member.
Yeah.
And it's always nice to see one of our guys kind of up in lights,
well,
isn't it?
And they're very much a local Kent-based firm, aren't they, as well? So that's great. They're a real success story.
Maidstone and Canterbury, they have offices in.
Yeah. So that'll be the lovely Heather James is the marketing director there. So that'll be Heather's handiwork afoot there. So congratulations.
What is it that they do, McIntyre Hudson? What?
Yeah, we wanted to keep it positive, really.
okay.
And Adrian won't mind mentioning that. Is basically kind of almost crisis management of companies if they're really struggling and they think they may have to kind of...
Well, Adrian is the head of the insolvency practice at MHA McIntyre Hudson, but they're an accountancy firm.
So restructure a company.
Well, that's
not necessarily mean it's going to be a problem.
That's
for
one side of it, but they are a traditional firm of accountants. That's their core business. Day to day accountancy services, and Adrian obviously runs the insolvency practice within that. In fact, he was a guest on the show, wasn't he, Brian, a few weeks back? So
Was, and that gave us and him an opportunity to talk about things that we didn't really understand or know that he did, because when he walks into a meeting, it's almost stand by your beds and oh, here comes a grim reaper. But there is a lot more to him and them than that, so that's good to know.
Absolutely.
He doesn't normally take the scythe with him to the networking meeting.
It's in the car.
It could be a rainy for certain people, I think.
Anyway, congratulations to you guys. Moving on. We ought to let people know BBN kind of networking dates that are coming up this month as we roll into yet another month.
Oh, yes.
Pete and I will probably be at Dartford this Thursday.
I'm booked in. Yeah,
if the alarm clock goes off. Have we got any spaces for that meeting, Brian?
Well, do you know what? I had a cancellation just this morning.
There you are.
So I could probably fit in one or two people.
You're a bit like BA, aren't you? You like to overbook, and then when everybody turns up,
it's a nice problem to have.
Someone has to be thrown off the plane.
Yes, right. Yeah, someone standing up. Yeah. You can't come in, you're way too drunk.
Well, the last meeting was over 50 people, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It's just so popular.
Yeah.
So that's
great to be there.
That's at Brian's BN on the Twitter. BBNnetworking.co.uk is the website.
Remembered, Whitey. I'm impressed.
So you need to get in touch with Brian if you want to come along, and he'll have a chat with you, tell you about the format. But it's pay as you go. That's the beauty of this. You won't be asked to kind of sign up as a member for the next 12 months and pay a membership fee. It
is pinned in the corner of the room and not allowed to leave until you sign your life away.
So it's pay as you go on the door, and it's 16 quid and it's a cracking breakfast. So that's Dartford this week, and also on the 18th we've got Maidstone, which was last Friday, again on the 12th of April and the 26th, and we've got Bromley on the 10th and the 24th. So there's three groups in Kent. Take your pick. I'm sure one of those would work for you on a kind of geography level. So
I go to the Bromley one as well,
and
it's got good numbers, solid group, really supportive. All the things that you want really from a networking group.
Good.
You know?
Thanks, Pete. And we're all jolly nice people, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, on the whole.
I'm gonna, while Brian shimmies across the studio, to his other computer, I'll just put your microphone on live there. Brian and I will also be at our good friends SNS Solicitors on Wednesday. So they're having a hearty breakfast networking for the Heart of Kent Hospice. So they're raising money for their charity partners there on Wednesday. But it's always a nice, fun networking event to go to. And the beauty of that is if you are in need of some legal advice, like now, John and Gareth and Richard and all the solicitors there will be on hand to offer you some free advice on the day as well. So if you wanted to do some networking, have a cracking breakfast, bring a good appetite because there's always a lot of food, and get some free legal advice. I mean, you know, what's to lose? So it's 10 o'clock and that's SNS solicitors, and they're based in Denning House in Maidstone. There is an Eventbrite booking link, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you just turned up on the day. And I think there's a suggested sort of £5 donation to the Heart of Kent Hospice as well. So we'll see you at that one as well, won't we, Brian?
I'll be there. Yeah, you getting to that one, Pete?
I won't be able to make that one. There is one on Wednesday lunchtime in Bexley, which I'll probably be going to, which is the B2B meeting that Faye Cox and Terry Stelly, that's been quite popular, and I missed the last one, but they normally have around about 20 to 25 people turn up at that. That's very good, middle of the day, so it's a nice one to go to.
Good,
nice.
Plenty
numbers
around. Good.
Okay, all
Brian,
right.
Brian, what have you got?
Well, funny enough, it's more a case of what have you got, because you've got one coming up, Martin.
Yes.
And I couldn't make this, so very remiss of me, because it was kind of treble booked, but I did hear from reliable sources your first one was really, really good, and that is your new After Six networking event at the Ashford International Hotel. So correct me if I'm wrong, but 17th of April on the Wednesday is the next one. So that's a monthly after at 6 o'clock that you're doing. It's free of charge, I think, isn't it?
It is.
Have you won the lottery and trying to get rid of some money?
No, I mean, it's very much a sort of collaborative effort with the Ashford International themselves, the FSB, Supply My Business, and also the Kent MS Therapy Centre over in Canterbury. So we're kind of, we're leveraging all of our networks, really, to just put on a nice, fairly informal After Six networking event for people in and around Ashford. And I think the reason we've done it in Ashford is because there seems to be a real lack of sort of quality networking that people can go to generally. I mean, our friends here at Kent Space run a fantastic one once a month, which is the week after that. But generally speaking, there's not an awful lot going on.
That's
so,
really surprising, isn't it? You would have thought there'd be more in this area, because
absolutely,
there's a huge number of businesses around the Ashford area.
And that
main town in Kent.
That was the feedback we had on the night, really, that, you know, they were very much local businesses based in and around Ashford, and that's what they wanted. You know, they wanted something on their doorstep, and of course it's easy to park there at the Ashford International. It's easy to get to, so it's a no-brainer for people. So we'd love to see you there. There is an Eventbrite booking link. It's also published on the community page of Supply My Business, so you can get more of the information there.
I'll have to look out for that one. That sounds quite interesting to go to.
Now, you mentioned Terry Seller.
I did.
And his event that he's running on Wednesday lunchtime. Well, Terry, for those of you who don't know, is actually a printer. And some of us in the room, i.e. me, will be exhibiting at Business Vision Live on the 15th of May. And Terry has very kindly put together a print offer, I for one will be taking advantage of. So he's offering a pop-up banner, 500 business cards, and 1,000 flyers, A5 flyers, all for £170 plus VAT. So if you are exhibiting at Business Vision Live, like we are, or you have another trade show that you're going to be exhibiting at in the near future, do get in touch with Terry Seller. That's Terry at tic-media.co.uk. You'll also find him on the Twitter, TIC Media and Design. All of that information is also published in the community page of Supply My Business. So get yourselves some really good value-add, quality print produced at a very reasonable cost.
It's a nice little package, actually, because that's pretty much all you need to do an exhibition.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I like that. That's good. Clever tell.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's a surprise. Clever. We'll give him some stick about being clever on Thursday.
Yeah, a clever little boy. Yeah.
Yeah. El Tell, as we know him. Now, we've got something also coming up here at Kent Space, I think, Martin, on the 30th of April. So another friend of all of ours, Sue McGowan, is that's the Kent Space Chatham. So there's a free employment law and health and safety advice seminar, 30th of April, Kent Space Chatham, and that's from 9:30 in the morning until about 1 o'clock. So there is a promotion code you can use, 44081C.
Mm. I think that's they're running that, aren't they, in conjunction with Peninsula? So that's
They are.
Yeah, health and safety and employment law advice. So that'll be definitely be worth going to. There'll be some good networking there as well. Now this Friday, I was actually talking to Pete from Beresford's, just up the corridor here.
Peter Allen.
Yeah, Peter Allen, just up the corridor here at Kent Space today. And Pete and I are also off to a fabulous networking, which is a little bit self-indulgent on Friday, called...
You're sloping off.
FSB Slope Off Friday, indeed. And it's at a lovely restaurant overlooking Margate Main Sands called The Boy and Oyster this week. And if you would like to pop along to that, it's £28 for three courses or £25 for two courses if you're watching your waistline. It starts at 2 o'clock for 2:30, sit down for lunch. There's a fabulous menu. They really are a top, top class restaurant. There'll be some great networking on offer as well. And it's pretty much kind of, leave when you feel like it. It's a Friday afternoon, obviously. So hopefully you'll be able to slope off and get away with it. But if you'd like more information about that, the lady looking after it all is a lovely lady called Debs, or it's Jules Serkin, at Acacio Carp on the Twitter or at Jules Serkin. And I believe there probably is just about time to still book on for that if you'd like to pop along. So 2 for 2:30 at the Boy and Oyster in Margate, which is on the main seafront drag at Margate near the Turner Contemporary. Yeah.
Sounds like a very civilised thing to do on a sunny Friday afternoon, Pete. What would you say?
I'd say that I'm curious to whether Martin will go for the two courses or the three. What do you think, Ray?
I think he'll go for the two and the three.
Excellent.
And then, sloping off on a Friday. Mm. It takes us back to our media and publishing days in the 80s, Pete, doesn't it?
Yeah. So,
but we'll
fondly remember.
Yeah, with a couple of brain cells we've still got left.
Yeah, only just,
And we mentioned Sue McGowan at Kent Space earlier. She's going to begin to think I'm stalking her because I'm going to mention her again. Mm. And they have the wonderful facilities here at Ashford and in Chatham. They are also opening up a new facility at Ebbsfleet in July.
Yeah.
So with all wonderful office space and storage facilities.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah.
It's a really, really good place to be, and it kind of completes the triangle quite nicely, really. Now, they're doing an offer, whereas, and I do happen to know some BBM members that have already signed up. In fact, Sue's very first Dartford meeting she came to, she secured a deal for the first office.
So, brilliant.
No doubt there'll be a plaque going up.
Who's going in there? Are we able to say?
Sandra Porter at Freedom Business.
Is she the bookkeeping lady?
Yes, she is. Yes. She's a bookkeeper, and she's relatively new to BBN as well. Mm-hmm. So that's
nice lady.
Bit of a marriage made in heaven. So I'm sure at the very least there'll be a plaque go up in reception with Sue's name on it. So
they've got a promotion or something running, have they?
Exactly that. So if you are signing up to be there from July, you'll only pay for 10 months. So in effect, you're getting 2 months free rental.
Brilliant.
At the new Ebbsfleet thing. So that's nice. People moving around offices and such like. So have a look at that.
sm@kentspace.co.uk, I think, is Sue's email address, isn't it? So okay, I think we'll finish this. There's one more event I think I'd like to read out, and that's our good friend, business coach Terry Botfield. who runs a very popular Marsh networking group. And this week, on Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's a coffee morning that's being held at St. Paul Arms in New Romney. So again, that is a turn up. It's actually a free event, but again, there's a suggested £5 contribution towards a local charity called Calm, which looks after sort of elderly, vulnerable people in the community. But if in particular, if you're over sort of East Sussex Way or kind of Romney Marsh Way, it's a little bit out of the way, let's face it. And, you know, this particular group caters very well for businesses that are in and around the area that want some quality networking. So get yourselves along to that. It's 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning at the St. Paul Arms, which is a lovely pub, in New Romney. Brian, I think what we might do now is play a little bit of tunage teaser. A
little bit of tunage. Guess the link.
Guess the link for our...
best bit of the programme.
For our guest today. So here we go. Let's see what you make of this, dear listener. So, for the eagle-eared listener out there,
bat-eared maybe.
Who was that? Come on!
Oh, I'll tell you what, that was that Aztec Camp? No, I'll tell you, it was Flock of Seagulls.
Flock of Seagulls. And Pete, what was the name of the tune?
Is it? I can't remember now. Is it Picture This?
If I had...
I had a picture. That yes.
A photograph of you.
Exactly.
Oh. Something to remind me.
So, Brian, I guess that kind of leads us nicely into our guest today. So why don't you introduce him?
Yeah, today, from the world of photography and digital media, we have the wonderful, and he's not 21 anymore, the wonderful Pete Bresser.
Beardless Pete Bresser.
Yeah, he's all clean shaven and everything.
Well, I kept on being mistaken for Father Christmas, and it's after a while you think, maybe that's making me look a little too old.
Yeah, it's great. You look 12 now.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. what's been really helpful is that I think the beard has actually protected my skin from the sun, so there's hardly any wrinkles.
Oh, brilliant.
But it might be that I'm a fat git, and therefore I don't actually produce very many wrinkles.
We're not painting a very good picture.
I do it to myself.
Let's just say Pete has got a face for radio. And on that note, I think you should tell us a little bit more about Bresser Photo and digital media.
Okay, well, so I set up Bresser Photography and Digital Media just over 10 years ago now, and BresserPhotos.com, which is the website, is sort of like it's an entity on its own, which just helps, just easier to say than Bresser Photography and Digital Media, because it takes about 3 seconds to say that. And as we're getting less and less time in a BBN meeting now, we need to reduce the amount of time that you just say who you are. So when I started, I was doing photography for social events, for families, commercial photography. But as time's gone on, I've concentrated more and more on the commercial photography. Right. So that, I would say, now probably makes up about 80, maybe even 90% of my work now. And a huge amount of it is for property. And the other side of it is to do portraiture, business portraiture. You mentioned earlier on about Peter Allen and yourself going off to Slopeoff Friday. Peter's one of my clients who did his photographs at Kent Space.
For their office at Beresford's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So,
And Pete, I must ask you, obviously you've been doing this for a long time now, but are you self-trained, or were you in the business working for a business, or how did it all come about?
Self-trained, right. But, you know, I got into photography because my dad was interested in it. And because of that, I developed an interest, and I used to nick his camera, basically. Go out and take photographs. I used to do lots of band photography in the mid-70s, and I just developed from there. So I was really into it. So I used to do absolutely everything. So I'd do the processing of films. I would actually produce I had an enlarger. Didn't have a dark room. I used to kick my parents out of the kitchen and say, go to bed.
Wow.
Because I need the kitchen. I need
didn't have dark. A dark room, just refused to pay the electricity bill, and that would do it.
Kept it cheap. Yeah. But so by the time I was 18, I was already earning money from photography. I was doing processing for other people, for some teachers at the local school.
You were really keen amateur kind of on a hobby kind of level. Yeah.
I could have been a professional photographer at 18. Mm-hmm. I could have gone into that, but I am really interested in technology.
Right.
I was always interested in electronics and computers.
You're an early adopter, aren't you?
I'm a first generation geek.
Yeah. Someone that likes to get in there early. And,
absolutely. So that was the thing. So I decided that I would take that electronics route originally. Mm-hmm. Went to college, studied electronic engineering. Actually was due to be a radio officer for the Merchant Navy, but I came out from that at the start of the major first oil crisis at the end of the 70s, so had to find a job shoreside.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
So, and that was in engineering, did that for a couple of years.
Yeah. And just so that everybody's clear, we're talking about still photography here, as opposed to video, because we had Gareth from Play Mountain, didn't
on
we?
On the last show, on, yeah. On, yeah.
And he was obviously...
Which is what Pete does, but moving.
Yeah, but he was obviously extolling the virtues of kind of video for small businesses.
And both have their place.
Yeah.
It's important that their video is very important at the moment. It definitely has an impact on increasing your the number of people that are interacting with your social media posts. It's fantastic for that. Still photography, so images that do not move, still have a very, very important place, because
it's an instant, isn't it?
It's completely is instant. Both types of media involve you making an emotional connection to the content.
Mm.
The difference is that where video can take maybe 30 seconds to 2 minutes for you to make a full engagement, with a photo, you do it in, and it's almost instantaneous.
Mm.
If you've got a good photograph, if it makes the emotional connection, you will know immediately what the story is from just viewing that image like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So from somebody, from a business point of view, in terms of kind of communicating your core proposition and what you're all about, it's actually quite fundamental, isn't it? I mean, how do you do that without the benefit of bespoke imagery to do that job for you?
Well, you've got to be creative.
Mm.
So one of the things that I've done, it's a couple of years ago now, but Ben Leach is another BBM member. Mm-hmm. I did
BLIT Solutions.
Yeah. That's Ben, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we did some photographs of him. So we could have just done some straightforward headshots of him, you know, grinning at the camera. And
I remember it well, yeah. Carry on.
But one of the things that's important for him at the moment is that he's concentrating on doing remote support for people. So that means coming your side of the computer.
Mm.
So I went, well, let's play with that kind of imagery. So I did a montage photo of a laptop computer on a desk, and it looked like Ben was coming through out, the screen and playing with the keyboard.
Yeah.
So we've taken a sort of, in some ways it's quite literal in the, you know, that remote support coming your side of the keyboard.
Yeah.
But the thing about it, it immediately makes you stop and look at that photo. You get that story straight away in a split second.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, obviously, Ben didn't physically come out of that screen like that. So, in other words,
he did.
He may have done
at the time.
He was a Weight Watchers member at the time, so he may well have done.
But the point is, you can create an image out of other, you know, many images to actually communicate the message that you're trying to communicate.
That's true. There was one I did. It was actually for a wedding, and we wanted to show the stages of that a groom goes through waiting for the ceremony. It's not particularly this groom, because he was as nervous as anything.
Yeah.
So we were in the hotel bar, and I had him. So I set the camera up in one position and then took several photographs of him in various places in the bar, having a drink, talking to his best man, a couple of other shots, that kind of thing. And then we put all of them together so it looks like in several places in one area.
Yeah.
That's the fantastic thing you can do these days that you just couldn't do in the analog days.
No, of course.
The best you could do with an analog was to cut somebody else's head off and put it on an image and then re-photograph it.
Mm.
To do anything more complicated really involved an incredible amount of work.
And retouching, I mean, easy. I remember I did a photo shoot once with Naomi Campbell.
Mm.
And, you know, we paid her. This was on behalf of Unilever.
Who did she play for?
Well, we paid her £70,000 for an hour's work, and we paid her agent 20% on top of that.
And she never even scored a goal.
But then we had to pay her retouching house £10,000 on top of that.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that she actually looked like everybody thought she looked like in all the pictures they'd seen of her, because of course she doesn't.
No, so, none of them do.
And I guess the digital age has made all of that so much easier, hasn't it?
It's
less time.
She always looked like she needed a decent curry to me, but that's another story.
but that's interesting. There has been a sort of a backlash against that kind of over-processed work. Dove were doing some very interesting work maybe 2 years ago now to say, you know, that real women don't come in just
pencil-thin
shape.
Yeah.
You know, there's a range.
Yeah.
It's an aspect of the fact that the software is available for you to do these things that in a way that you never had before. I mean, if I can slim down, there was a fitness coach I did some work for a few years back, and she was doing these press ups, and she had a bit of a tummy bulge, and that was, you know, it was okay. I didn't think very much of it. In fact, it looked more like a t-shirt was hanging down, and she also had quite big thighs because they were really muscular. And she went, oh, I really don't like those. Can you slim those down? I went, I guess so. I can do. So I played around with there's a tool in the software now called Liquify, and you gradually brush that over the edges where the thighs were, make something a little bit slimmer, push the stomach in a little bit. It took me probably less than 10 minutes to change that. And it completely, and to be subtle about it as well. That's the other thing.
But then it wasn't her at the end.
And no one recognised her when she went out.
Everyone said, who's that?
Yeah, I know. We did have a different face on her as well. But that's another thing. So a group of children, I love kids. Couldn't eat a whole one, but I love kids.
I went to school.
But when you've got a group of them, okay, you've got to try and get them all engaged with you. Sometimes it's impossible. And, you know, even though I can do loads of those different things, got loads of techniques to make them engage with you, you're never going to get them all looking at the same time with their eyes open and so on. So I had a group of kids, I think it was 12 children, and I shot a sequence of 20 photos. And out of that 20, I had to merge them so that all their faces looked the right way and were smiling and their eyes were open. And we got down to two. But you can do that in a digital way, but it would be a lot more difficult.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say a lot of that stuff you've described is all advancements in technology, isn't it, basically, definitely, and how it's changed. So we mentioned a bit off air, obviously, you and I first met each other back in the very early 80s, so 37 years ago.
Yeah, I was still in shorts, mate.
Wasn't quite that. Oh, yeah, turned full circle, I guess, but at a cap almost, and it never did fit, but I still wore it. But, 1982, so Morgan Grampian days and Pager Doll. We were in publishing, in trade and technical business-to-business publishing in the electronics industry, weren't we? You were on the editorial side and I was on the advertising side, but those were days when we used to talk about bromides and chromalins and right reading negatives, emulsion side down. We kind of don't have that anymore, do we? So
we moved on so
it used to take
that.
Weeks and weeks to get something in that you could use, and now you can in essence do it in minutes, can't you, to send across a PDF. So
exactly,
that's a huge change. Is that a good thing as you see it? Is that one of the biggest changes you've seen in, say, the last 30 years?
Well, the technology has enabled you to take costs out of the process.
Does it take some of the talent out of taking the right picture, though? Does it make it too easy for anyone to take any old picture, or...?
No, I know why you say that, because obviously we are subjected to so much visual media now. It's astounding when anybody can grab their phone and take a photograph of their breakfast and shove it up onto, Twitter or Instagram or whatever. But actually what tends to happen is that there's so much mediocrity out there. Mm. When you see good stuff, it sticks out by a mile, by a country mile.
Right. So on a commercial level, where are businesses, in your opinion, for example, where are they missing out when it comes to that? You know, what's the opportunity for businesses to kind of grasp that and run with it?
We were talking earlier and saying that how there's still half of businesses in Kent that still don't even have a website. Mm. So those are people that are missing out.
Are you serious?
It's incredible, isn't it? Half of the businesses, 50% of businesses in Kent still do not have a web presence.
I just assume every business has got a website, surely. No.
It's staggering. And the thing about it is they are missing a trick. Those ones, unless they have a very, very closed market where they know absolutely everybody, they are missing out on reaching an audience that is completely engaged now with the World Wide Web. So even if you didn't have a website, you could use social media, you could use Instagram, you could use Twitter, you could use Facebook. All of those give you a presence with your business. So you might be that you have a page on Facebook and then you link it to your Instagram account, which you can do as a corporate environment, and then you can start posting more material. Now there's always going to be,
I kind of get that. So at least they've got
some kind of presence. Remember those
digital
tools,
presence.
So it's not like. So one of the things that we used to do, because we worked in magazines, I was the editorial side, you were the advertising side, but those magazines had a particular role to fulfil. There was no conduit between manufacturers and all those vertical market. So within the electronics industry, before the internet, you used the magazines to reach out between those two. Yeah. That's what you wanted. Yeah. So the editorial gave them some interest. The advertising gave the ability to find other, you know, particular types of product. You brought them together to end up with a, you know, 30,000, 35,000 copies of that magazine going out every month.
Editorial tells and advertising sells.
Exactly. And that was so true. And yeah. they, you know, very, very successful businesses were based on that. You know, things have moved on. But the interesting thing is that with the social media, in fact, all media gives you the ability to interact in a way that you never had before. When on our magazines, interaction used to be with these little tiny cards that were stuck in the magazine, ripped out, and you go, "Oh, I'm interested in I'm interested in piece of editorial 1, 3, 4."
Oh yeah, what were they called? Reader response cards.
That yeah. was it. So you would send. So if you got your magazine, you'd like fitting out. Oh, really interested in that. That's really good. I'll just ask for some more information on that. You'd write the numbers down. You put your address on it, and you'd send them off back to with these prepaid postcards.
Fulfillment house or something.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, they used to come back to the, mostly to the publishing houses, mm. who would then collate all that information and then send a whole wide, mm. Swathe of this stuff off to each each business.
Advertiser or whatever, yeah.
So obviously that was featured, okay? So that was the interaction, which is a bit poor, frankly. Mm. I was going to swear then. I told you brought out the worst in me, Brian.
But
the thing about it is
quality engagement, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, well
it was real. It's just by an email now, though, isn't it?
Yeah, if I've gone to all that trouble to kind of pull something out, send it back, and it's because I'm interested.
It would take weeks to do full circle, and probably by the time it got there, the product they'd inquired about was out of date.
It was. I mean, you'd put this stuff there, and it would take 2 days for. So the magazine would go over a period of a week.
Mm.
The response cards, if they came back, they would take maybe 2 days to come back because it was a second class stamp equivalent. So the information was collated within a week, and then it would go out to the company. If the company didn't then respond to it within, the company feature didn't respond within a couple of days, that lead will already have been 2 weeks out of date.
Yeah. Yeah.
See? And that's what we got now. It's almost instantaneous connection. So we can put something out there and we can get some information back.
But it's got to be the right, as you say, there's so much noise out there in the marketplace. It's got to be the right image, and it's got to communicate the right message.
That's true. So you've got to go back to your main principles behind your marketing. I mean, that was still true. I mean, first principles of marketing haven't really changed.
They haven't.
But if you've got those right, then the message you put out with either your equivalent of editorial, or your video, or your still images, all of those are going to help support that main message and actually build that rapport with that new prospect, shall we say. Let's call them a prospect.
And for the untrained average business owner, that's not going to be an easy thing to achieve with a mobile phone necessarily, camera, is it?
Well, the best they can do with a mobile phone is show that they are somewhere and they're carrying out some kind of task.
Mm.
If that's the limit that you want within your social media, that's fine.
Yeah.
But look how many businesses work within a knowledge-based service industries, okay? If you're a solicitor, or you're an accountant, or any number of businesses that are sliced down from that, it's much more difficult than say a garage can go, well, we put wheels on tires. You can show that it's nice and easy. The best you can do with a solicitor is to have you talking to a client,
right,
that kind of thing. So what you've then got to do, you've got to be more creative. You've got to start thinking about what it is you're. So video in often cases in that is the easier option, because but you the can default, actually explain what you're doing.
The default, I guess, for a lot of businesses is they'll plump for stock shots, which don't show their staff, not their offices, and they're just, they're just totally generic and irrelevant.
But there's another problem with that as well, because most stock shots, if they're buying stock, chances are they'll be going to places where their competitors are going for the same shots. And actually, when you look at stock image libraries, they give you a number of how many times things have been downloaded, and you find the best shots have been downloaded thousands of times, okay? There are others that are downloaded once or twice, but that's because they're not as good.
Yeah.
So there was there's an online magazine called The Register. They did a thing about 3 years ago, and they followed this particular stock shot across the across websites, okay? So they first became aware of this particular stock shot when IBM picked it up, and then a rival, probably somebody like Novell or somebody like that, and they went, hold on a second, this is the same woman in these shots.
Yeah.
So, and they were all for having a bit of a laugh. So they then went to the stock shots and found this particular stock, and then started to track down, because it's dead easy to track down images on the web. And they found it had been used thousands of times, and they created this strange kind of story environment around this woman who featured in these shots for IBM. And it just goes to illustrate that you can have, if you're going to buy stock, that's fine. If you can't afford to over your own stuff, stock will get you over a hurdle. But actually, if you want something that's unique, you can't do your own.
It's not really the way forward, is it?
And if you've got to show pictures of, people by people, don't they, in business?
That's right.
And particularly in a service business, you know, you're doing business with that person.
That's exactly
it. So you need to see their face and you need to see their smile.
It's the equivalent of seeing the whites of their eyes.
Yeah, and you can't have a stock shot and you certainly can't produce that effectively yourself on your mobile phone, can you?
You rock up on their doorstep and go, no, don't look like that in your photograph.
Well, we all suffer from that on LinkedIn, don't we? I mean, we've all got profile pictures that are, you know, at least 5 or 6 years old.
We shouldn't have, especially after the marvellous Nick Johnson came to BBM Mateson on Friday, as he always does, and he did all the headshots. He set up the booth and all that kind of stuff.
He's really talented.
But look at Pete. So, I mean, yesterday he had a beard and today he hasn't, so no one would recognise
him. And there's nothing to do. No one's touched him up, let me tell you.
Not for a while. But
Pete, I mean, what's the typical kind of ways you can help and advise the Kent business people out there?
Well, if it's a brand new business, I think the best thing they could do is to contact me when we have a chat about the kind of areas that they're looking to promote within their business, and how then we could create some kind of visual identity through still images to actually best promote that business. So I've just done some lifestyle photographs for a guy that does CRM systems, and we went up to London. One of the things he wanted to show was that he can do his work absolutely anywhere. So we had photographs of him in a coffee shop in London. We then had photographs of him walking away with the London buildings in the background. So we got created this library of photographs that he can then pull on to use to either on his website or on blog posts. And I think that's part of one of the things we could do for all businesses of all sizes, whether you're a one-man band right the way up to large organisations. Getting that library of photographs that are unique to you will then help you in areas such as social media, where there is a need for constantly evolving and using new material.
I think in my experience, small businesses generally, or small business owners generally, don't make for very good marketeers. So I guess a large part of the value you add is by having that conversation with a business owner to say, look, you know, this is what your business currently looks like. And again, it's very difficult when you run a business, to kind of step back from that and see the wood for the trees, if you like.
Yeah. And when they talk about stepping outside the box, it has to be you think about it in a quite literal sense, in that, you know, if you're standing on the edge of your box looking at your business, you can't see the whole thing.
No.
You've got to be outside.
So someone like you can help shine a light on that and say, well, actually, look, you know, this is what we could do for you on a kind of visual level, because, you know, I'm not a trained photographer. You know, I don't necessarily know where my photography isn't hitting the mark. And that's why I would need to speak to somebody like you.
It's true. I mean, there are other. I've done some work for cleaning and construction companies, and all of those have very specific needs that they're trying to show. So, for the cleaning company recently, they wanted to show that they had this reach and wash system, which you can say reach and wash in a piece of editorial, but actually, if you see one of these things in action against the, you know, that reaches like 15, 20 feet in the air, cleaning windows, it's amazing. When you say that they've got an external scrubber for cleaning up car parks, you show that it's completely different. So you can show the operations, you can see that.
So it brings the words to life.
Yeah, so
it,
you're adding more value to just say a reach and wash. Because reach and wash, if you think about it in its essence, that's very, very technical. It might be complete gobbledygook to most people. They go, oh, I don't really know what that is. Yeah. Can you clean windows?
Yeah, yes. when you show it to somebody, it's, I haven't got to have one of these ridiculous things suspended from my roof then.
Exactly.
Or a scaffolding or whatever it is to clean my windows.
Yeah, what you're trying, what you're doing is you're adding more information back into that. As I said to you, the fact that you can get that kind of information in a split second makes an incredible difference. Now, you might want to take a video and go the next stage and go, this is how we use a reach and wash system. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is make them see what it is you do straight away.
Good. Okay, so you've heard it from the main man, people. How do we get in touch with you, Pete, if we want to have that conversation? What's the easiest way to contact you?
I respond, well, so I'm on every kind of, like, Ed, you can send me smoke signals, I'm probably still getting, okay, semaphore.
Meet up with him in Santa's grotto at the garden centre.
Yeah, that's Christmas.
You sure?
I'm at the North Pole most of the time. Bressaphotos.com is the website.
Yep.
All my contact details are on there. But if they want to reach me by phone, it's 07795-071446.
And you mentioned social media, and your Twitter handle is at Bressaphotos.
It's at Bressaphotos. Mm-hmm. The Instagram handle is at Bressaphotos. And I use Pete Bressaphotos as the handle on Facebook, so you'll find either the business page or me through that. And of course, I have Messenger, WhatsApp, you know, all of those things are there to enable us to communicate on a more regular basis.
Instagram will give everybody a good idea of the kind of the depth and breadth of what you can do. And who
virtually
you work
all
with.
Of that stuff on my Instagram account is commercial. Good. I've got a separate Instagram account for things like wedding photography. I keep those out of that, but I do post some, you know, some personal bits and pieces on there, just to show that I'm well rounded.
We know that, Pete.
Yeah, that's I
all bullets, three mate. Of us are. This is the roundest studio I've ever seen.
Superb. Good. All right. So just one sort of as a sort of a parting gift. What would your one piece of advice be to business owners out there in terms of thinking about the imagery that they're using to talk about and promote their business?
Think about your service or your product on an emotional level. Think about what it is that you're actually selling. If you're selling left-handed widgets, what is it that widget does that nobody else can do? Okay,
and you need to capture that in a photograph.
You do, exactly. So what you do, I don't care whether it's a brass widget or an aluminium widget. That's not really important. When you go, it's a brass widget, so it doesn't rust. It's an aluminium widget because it's lighter. Those are those things. And what we're trying to do then within the image is give some of those elements an extra dimension.
That's really good.
So we take an aluminium digit, we might put it on a balloon, you know, show it's light. I don't know. You know, we take
your business to make people feel.
Yes.
Yeah. That's quite a challenge.
I feel good.
You know. In other words, what problem are you
solving? What are you solving?
Yeah. Or what benefit are you bringing or adding?
Exactly. We talked about first principles of marketing. Mm. That's one of them.
Yeah. Mm. Brilliant. Fantastic. Pete, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it.
We are fast running out of time, as we always do.
Surely not so soon.
At 5 minutes to four, 4 minutes to four, 3 minutes to four even. So we just need to
it's
have...
It's like a speaking clock, isn't it?
We just need a very quick shout out for somebody who's very kindly tweeted in. Brian, friends of yours, I believe, Walk Tall.
Ah, Walk Tall, yes. Charity based in Northfleet. That's the lovely Anne Duke. And our friend Alex Walterton is very involved with that. So thanks for that, the guys at Walk Tall. And hi to you. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, lovely to hear from you on the Twitter.
Can I just say that Alex helps me with my workshops. We do those together. I've got a workshop coming up this Saturday. Starts at 10:30. It's a little different from the other workshops that we've done. We're having a photo scavenger hunt. But, you know, it's...
All right, so get in touch with Pete on the Twitter at Breasts of Photos if you'd like to go along to that. Brian, just very quickly, our next show guest is going to be?
That's a good question. I could mention a name, but I can't because I haven't spoken to her yet, but I will call her very soon and I'll know who it's going to be.
But we will be back here in 2 weeks' time. So
on Monday the 15th of April.
We hope you can join us then. But for now, we're going to play you out with some Blondie.